Turn with me also to Lord's Day number 18, questions numbers 49 and 50. As we are continuing on in our exposition of what we just confessed, and that is of Christ's ascension. So question number 49, I'll read the questions, and will you please respond with the answer. What benefit do we receive from Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Second, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge, that he, as the head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Third, that he sends his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. Why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? Because Christ ascended into heaven for this end, that he might there appear as the head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Amen. I'm going to steal my thunder from the opening of the sermon. At the very, I have this written down, but in a sense, it's answered here in our catechism question. What is Jesus doing at this moment? Reigning and ruling, praying. Yes, he's interceding, but I like that. Reigning and ruling. That seated, when we say he's seated at the right hand of God, he's seated as ruler. He has accomplished. He has completed the work. The victory has been accomplished. And now he's ruling from heaven over earth. So the catechism goes on to say, well, what does it benefit us? So I say, I believe that Jesus is ascended into heaven. What does that mean to me? What is the effect of that? And the answer is threefold. Number one, we have our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. We have our defense attorney. But he's more than a defense attorney. He is our comforter. We could say it this way. He is our Nehemiah. Since we're in the book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah's name means comforter, he is the one who brings us comfort because of what he has done, because of what he is doing, and because of what he will do in the future. He is our advocate. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When the accuser of the brethren accuses us night and day before God, the Father, Jesus, our advocate, says, no, he is forgiven. She is forgiven. Look at the cross. It's empty. Look at the tomb. It's empty. The victory was won. They are forgiven. He is our advocate in the presence. Notice that, the presence of his Father in heaven. He is seated there now. He is praying for us. And secondly, we have a down payment. We have a guarantee. We have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. As Paul says, we are seated right now in Christ in heaven. Isn't that an amazing thought? We are seated. Yeah, you're seated right now here on earth. But Paul says we're also in Christ, seated in heaven. What great privilege, what great honor, what great blessing that is. Eternal life now. Heaven now, in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ. Thirdly, he sends us his Holy Spirit as the down payment, by whose power we seek those things which are above, or Christ sits at the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. The reason that you have a heart for God and a reason that you have a desire for the things of God is because of the gracious work of the Holy Spirit on your heart. Scripture says our hearts are stone. Scripture says that we are dead in trespasses and sins. Paul includes himself in that description before God in his mercy changed his heart. We have the down payment. How precious is the presence of the Holy Spirit to you? Do you take him for granted? That the Holy Spirit abides with you, puts up with you and your sin. And he doesn't forsake you. He doesn't leave you. He works with you. He confronts you lovingly. He shows tough love, convicts the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And he's changing us. And one of my favorite passages is what Paul writes. He's changing us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. In Christ, being made like Christ, from glory to the next level of glory on earth and especially in heaven. Why is it added, he sits at the right hand of God? Because Christ ascended into heaven to this end, for this purpose, that he might there appear as the head of his church. Jesus is the heavenly bridegroom, and the church is his bride. He is the one that loves us more than we love ourselves. He is the one who rules not only over the church. Notice the catechism goes on to say, by whom the Father governs all things. In one of those scripture footnotes, if you notice that is there, is 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll end with this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Not only angels, but authorities and powers have been made subject to him. All authority, Jesus said, has already been given to me in heaven and in earth. When did he say that? When he gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28 recorded. Already at this time, I have all authority and power in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He rules over all authorities. All authorities, whatever they may be, whether they be parents, whether they be teachers, whether they be administrators, whether they be employers, whether they be the President of the United States, whoever these authorities are, will give an account to our Lord Jesus Christ. They are his servants, and he rules. Amen.